pushing buttons need to respond. Thank you. CJO1690AM. Apparently, I can't push buttons right. That makes sense, though. That feels right. Feels right. Joined here in the studio by just people from so many bands.
Oh, yeah,
so
people.
Bands.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so many
we are people in bands.
That's true.
That you remember our names.
Definitely.
So well.
100%. I remember everything about this, including how much the tickets are that I just looked at right now.
Just looked up at the event.
Literally.
Oh, we're talking about this. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's it.
Yeah, uh-huh. Right. It's at the show that's at Foof's that these guys are playing. I definitely remember 100%. You guys are doing a show November 1st at Au Petrovive. I just doubted my...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
I just doubted that was true in my head. Tickets are almost $17 apparently from point of sale, from what I looked at.
Yeah. Point of sale adds fees and stuff, but at the door it's $15. If you come with a costume, it's $10, and we have a costume contest. So it's not just any costume contest. You don't leave with candy if you win. If you win, you leave with $100.
Yeah,
look at
something
that. We're bribing people to show up. It's come to that.
It's not a bad bribe, though.
Sweeter than candy, bro. Sweeter than candy.
To win $100, people would probably. I know people who, at least 2 years in a row, were like, "I'm going to every costume contest with this thing I've made," and they ended up making like $500.
Are you
one
serious?
Of the years.
Oh
yeah.
My god! Yeah.
Just hitting them up.
That is a great idea. I should have thought of that instead of playing a show.
Yeah.
Are you saying that there's more money in just doing a costume contest than being in a band? I can't believe that.
You're probably going to spend a lot less, in a costume contest than
well,
you
yeah,
will,
you would
in a band, yeah.
Well, we were
and it's less mentally draining too, you know.
I guess it depends on the extent of the costume you're making.
Oof, that's true. That's fair. That's
if you're
fair.
Like if you're like welding an Iron Man suit, that would be, I think, more draining, maybe.
I guess maybe.
You gotta ask
maybe.
Those guys on you. On there's some guys online that do that. So have you seen that?
I've seen those videos.
These dudes like, that are like, my god, man, like, the ability. Like I could never achieve anything like that.
Yeah.
But wait. At the party we were at yesterday, there was that chick with the there was a girl who hand sewed an Amanita mushroom like mushroom cap.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome, you know. So it was huge and looked like Raiden from
Raiden from
Mortal Kombat.
Or
yeah.
Either Toad from Mario.
Or Toad from Mario. Yeah.
Is Halloween? Is that your guys' favorite holiday, or are you typical stereotypical metal people who are like, Halloween's my favorite holiday, or is it just like, yeah, it's something that happens, I enjoy?
I mean, for me, there's no favorite holidays. Holidays,
well, how
it is
diplomatic
whatever.
We have here.
Huh?
How diplomatic.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's just another holiday. Like, it's fun. It's definitely more fun. Definitely not my favorite, but I don't have any favorites, so I can't say.
Not one favorite?
No, I don't have one favorite.
Huh, interesting. That is actually a hot take at this point.
Yeah, because, like, you know, holiday is just another time to party, you know? That's how it is.
That's true.
That's the only thing I'm thinking of.
That feels like that would be the answer from the thrash representative here.
every day is a holiday for us.
Well, what about you guys?
Me, Halloween. Well, I've been really.
You feel like you'd be the most connected to Halloween.
I wanted the Halloween show. Yeah. I wanted the Halloween vibe. That's why I put this whole thing together. It's been years. I'm like, I want to get a Halloween show together. And this year, finally, was able to make it happen. You know, thanks to these dudes.
It does feel weird that there isn't like a yearly Halloween metal show.
I'm kind of hoping that this will become that. That's why we call it Heavy Halloween 1.
Number 1.
We'll see. Next year, maybe we'll have a Heavy Halloween 2.
That's hopeful thinking. I like that.
It is. We'll see if any venues remain open.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing.
If not, we'll play under the bridge.
Exactly. Van Horn.
Yeah. Van Horn. Yeah. It'll be sick.
That's actually a good question. I mean, you've been doing music for what now? Like
20 years.
More than 20 years at this point. What do you guys think the state of kind of Montreal scene is
oh
right now?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. God.
Okay, yeah.
Now I've done it. Oh, no.
No,
we'll take the take from the youngins first, and then the older guy.
Whatever. Yeah, so the scene, it's definitely something, all right. You know, like, I had my fair share of experiences, let's say. I actually do have a story to say because, like, this just happened 2 nights ago. So with my other band, we're called Los Potholes, we're the surf punk garage rock band. We had a show at the venue La Marche à Côté. And oh my god, We booked the venue months in advance to have our show start at 9. Fine, good. Second time booking this venue, I had to confirm that the time is actually like the show starting at 9. Yeah, that's fine. You know, we get there at like 7, we do sound check, and then they're like, yeah, we have another event that's coming at 10, so you guys have to like leave early. And we're like, sorry, what? No, what? Huh? Yeah, so it's kind of dumb because like I did book another show a few weeks prior to that, and like the same thing happened. So I had to confirm just, you know, like a couple weeks before this show if it's going to be the same or are we good to go to do the show at 9. They said, yeah, no problem, no stress, it's going to be all good. The day of, they're like, not, there's going to be a DJ set at 10, you guys have to leave. We're like, actually, that's not the case. They said, okay, you have to leave at 10:30. We're like, okay, no problem. 10:30, we'll do it. I talked to like sound guy at the bar, and they're like, yeah, you can stay until like 10:30, 11. I don't really care, whatever. As long as like the DJs are fine with it. They were not fine with it. They messaged the owner. The owner was like, ah, man, you guys, you can't be telling everyone that you're staying as late as you want, man. You guys have to leave at 10 on the dot. We're like, what? So the show unfortunately got cut, and you know, we had to leave. I brought everyone back to my jam space. We tried doing another show there. We had one band play, and then after that they were like, yeah, we're turning off the power at midnight, you gotta leave. I'm like, all right, well, that sucks. That's whatever.
It really sounds like you have like a cursed history of shows with this band. What gypsy woman did you anger in order to cause this curse to fall upon you? Oh my
god. Yeah, no, but that's crazy. It happens. But you know, the venue, they messed us. They try to threaten us actually, which is kind of crazy. Another story I actually have to say about it is like just to I know another band who had the same exact experience, but for them it was a bit more intense. Because yeah, their set was cut early, so like every band was like playing I think one song each or something, and then they had to finish their show at 9 p.m. or something. But then the owner came to the venue and started like was talking to the girl, and then he grabbed her and pulled her outside.
Yikes, man.
Yeah, that's it's, you know, something you don't do. And yeah, the bar, they were messaging me, they were threatening like, yo, we're gonna you know, leak all the screenshots of our conversation and all that. I was like, okay, go do it. You know what? You want to know what they did? They deleted their messages and blocked us.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy.
It's like a Rodney Dangerfield moment.
Like a cautionary tale is what we're hearing right here.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, you guys be careful, you know.
Well, this is what happens when, and I think this is kind of where part of this might be going. I might be jumping the gun here, but like when you have actual venues closed down in the way that Montreal has been doing it, it leaves room for people who are incompetent, inscrupulous, whatever you want to throw in here, to do things like this.
Yeah.
Double book. Refuse to pay bands. That's not.
Oh, that's another thing.
On.
Actually,
okay. No, never mind. Sorry.
No, they didn't refuse to pay us. They didn't refuse to pay us because, well, I was dealing all the money and all that. But they did refuse to give the free booze. That was drawing
like,
the line.
It's like the only thing that the venues can offer.
Take tickets.
Yeah. And we're taking a cut of your merch, and you're not getting any anything. So. You know, just why don't you just pay us a bunch more money to play? Like,
yeah, it was it sucked. It's whatever. You know, the scene that we're in right now, it's a lot of bad things are happening. Just got to be careful. You gotta find the right spot. You know, you do you.
My take on the scene. Well, technically, we're more of a, like I said, a thrash metal band. So right. We're more in the thrash metal scene, and the bands that we play with or deal with are friends of ours or. Either Drowning in Blood or Grimold or Samurai. I can name a lot of different bands. And like they said about the venues, that's probably one of the issues that like Trackside closed, the Orange Julep closed. We saw the guys from Turboss make a post about that. Yep. And so that's what kind of sucks, you know, that before maybe 10, 15 years ago, we used to have more venues and more possibilities to do shows. And
just in the last year, we had a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah. We even had the we also had the diving bell that closed down last last November.
Yep. And like before that was Devon Orange, and you know, they
Green Room years and
Crowbar, Catacombs, like it's not looking great out there.
Yeah, it's all going down.
So my take on the scene is we still do have a scene that's in force because the bands are still working. I see a lot of bands, local bands, that are going out of town, and that's what I actually suggest that bands should do, like, not to only look in the local scene, like try to get out, open doors, go to Ottawa, go to Toronto. There's many different productions out there. There's Sewer Pool, there's a Neurotic Center, they're all Toronto based, and then there's Badlands Promotion with Ruth Morris. There is people, and there's a way to open those doors and get where you gotta go. So there's bands that do local band stuff, and then there's bands that push, you know.
Yeah.
It's interesting because it feels like Montreal is doing a scene in spite of the city itself, which is very strange. It's like we have all these bands here. Like, a huge amount of bands are in this city, especially versus cities that are this size, outside of you know, New York or Los Angeles or something like that. But it seems like everything is trying to make it so that only very specific bands become successful out of Montreal, and none of them are metal bands, really. Exactly. Like, it's almost like, okay, we've hit the limit of what we can have come from Montreal. We've got Cryptopsy, we've got Cataclysm. That's it. We don't need any more coming out of here. It's very strange. It feels like that. Like, there's an active. I mean, I'm probably just, like, being paranoid and weird, but it feels like there's an active push to stop music from being able to be played in such a large amount as it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, well, I was going to say, like, my whole take on it, or what I've been observing, is I'm seeing, like, a resurgence that there wasn't really, like, we weren't seeing, like, 10 years ago with, like, the younger bands, like, these dudes. Where I'm seeing larger audiences like come out for these dudes, you know, which is good. Stuff, bands like Bad Objection, Black Magic as well. Off the top of my head, those are the ones I'm just thinking of. But yeah, I mean, and so that's encouraging, you know.
Yeah.
And playing Piranha, you know, Piranha's still like a mecca. For
only
heavy music
expanded.
It's expanding, and you know what? It's run by some really good people.
Yeah.
So they treat the musicians well, super respectful. So it's
shout out to Nick from Dungeon Works.
Yeah, shout out to Nick from Dungeon Works. Absolutely. So there's those people too. So those people kind of give me like hope that like things are gonna, although they're shutting down places, they're still like.
Rough.
We'll all just, you know, collect in these places that are gonna support us and take it from there. But yeah, I do kind of see like the cities. It's like, but I mean, the man never really did like music to begin with,
that's
right?
True. So. I gotta get rid of this. Although we are in Quebec, so there is one type of music that we'll see, and that's the Frank Follies.
That's
money
true.
Pumped into them
that's,
all the time.
That is true. That is true. So, yeah, well, I mean, when you're dealing with heavier music, it's. You know, music, period, is underground. You know, it's not mainstream. You know, if you're not on the world stage, not mainstream, then you're playing heavy music. It's even more underground. You're like underneath the sediment. You know, so you got to do everything you can to just like stay involved and stay connected to the people who support.
And that's it.
Well, let's. I have to take a quick break, but we'll come back here. We'll chat some more about whatever.
Heavy Halloween.
Yeah, Heavy Halloween. Yeah, heavy All the things involved in
number
there.
Number one.
The first heavy one. Halloween
number
one.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. We'll talk about this through the ages. We'll go.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Remember the first one?
Remember the first one?
So keep it locked. We'll be back with more talking about Heavy Halloween and just all of the bands there. The Nightbreakers, the House of Dusks, the Expo DKs, and the... I can't
Stregoneria.
Yeah, that's it. There we go. I cannot keep that pronunciation in my head at all without looking at it with my eyes. But we've already established that I am a big dumb. So there's nothing really good new going on there. No news for that. But speaking of news, here's CJLO news here for the top of the hour. Keep it locked, CJLO 1690 AM.